And welcome back. The Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, has taken a few lumps in recent years as the nation winds down from two wars. At issue has been the efficiency in dealing with medical issues for returning vets. Now an accusation that the VA is overdoing it, its approach regarding vet care, at least in one approach, and that would be in prescribing opiate drugs. You heard about it this past weekend on the program Reveal, heard on NPR. It was produced by PRX, Public Radio and Exchange, in collaboration with the Center for Investigative Reporting. Reporter Aaron Glantz joins us to talk about the program and his findings about the VA here. Aaron, nice to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Give us kind of an overview for those who haven't heard Saturday's broadcast, and I'll say right now it's going to be repeated tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here. Give us an overview of your findings on this issue.
Yeah, well, basically what we found is that the VA is dealing with returning soldiers coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan by loading them up with prescription opiate painkillers. These are drugs that are similar to heroin and are just as addictive, and really not giving them other types of care which might be more effective. And we found that nationally the number of opiate prescriptions had gone up 270% since the war began. Oxycodone, Vicodin, methadone, morphine, these are the drugs we're talking about, while the percentage of patients at the VA had only gone up by 40%. And it's gotten so significant that the VA, for the last 2 years, has prescribed more opiates than it has patients.
Why is this, do you know?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we see in interviewing veterans is that these veterans coming home have very complex treatment needs. You know, they most common injuries from these wars are post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, mental wound, you can't sleep, you have flashbacks. You basically never leave the war in your head, even though you're back home. And then the other is traumatic brain injury. That is physical brain damage, multiple concussions caused by these roadside bombs and mortars. We're not talking about a bullet in your head. We're talking about an experience that's rather similar to an NFL football player who keeps getting knocked around over and over again. And these opiates are not treatment for either of these two injuries. But these veterans come forward. They are in some physical pain. The doctors prescribe these drugs, and then they begin to self-medicate the veterans. And then the VA basically becomes inadvertently a drug dealer, giving these opiate painkillers to veterans who then are masking their emotional pain with these drugs rather than getting to the root of what's troubling them.
Is this a case, do you think, of the VA trying to deal with these issues on the cheap as opposed to sitting these vets down with the counselors who might be more effective?
The VA has been playing catch-up, you know, for a number of years. You may remember when the war in Iraq started in 2003, Donald Rumsfeld told us that it might last 3 days or three weeks or 3 months. And here we are a decade later, and we're still at war in Afghanistan. And we just now finished with Iraq. So it wasn't really until the Walter Reed scandal broke in 2007 that the VA really started to staff up the way that it should. But one of the things that we see in our data is that even since then, the opiate prescription rate has continued to rise. And so I think that there are some fundamental issues here with the way decisions are getting made in these hospitals. The VA knows it's a problem. They adopted regulations in 2009 to help bring that prescription rate in line, to try to get doctors to use acupuncture, other forms of physical therapy to deal with pain instead of going straight to the narcotics. But our data shows that the prescription rate has continued to rise in spite of these regulations coming out of Washington. So we have doctors around the country who do not seem to be paying attention to the message that the administration is trying to send out belatedly.
It seems that the VA is a slow-moving vehicle, like that big ship in the middle of the ocean, which takes so long to turn around. It moves very, very slowly, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that the experts are telling us is that, you know, the VA might have some good national leadership in Washington, but when you talk about a bureaucracy the size of this agency, you know, there's a hospital director in St. Louis, there's a hospital director in Kansas City, there's a hospital director in Muskogee, Oklahoma, or Lincoln, Nebraska, and they're all making policy based on what they think. And there's not been a huge effort by Washington to reach down and make sure that these regulations, because they know in Washington, they know that they should not be prescribing these drugs for these ailments. They know they're highly addictive. The VA knows and has known since 2011 that the prescription drug overdose rate on their patients is double the national average. They know all of this in Washington. But a matter of getting the clinicians on the ground in communities across the country to behave differently has been a real struggle.
Well, so what does the VA say? When you confront them with what they you say they already know, what is their explanation? How do they respond?
They refused to grant us an interview for our story.
Refused?
Yeah, they did. They did send us, you know, a written statement that recapped, you know, some of the points that I've made to you. They sent me a copy of the regulations that I mentioned, you know, as well as some joint policy guidelines they developed with the military in 2010. But in terms of sitting down and talking to us about why all this is happening and what they're doing, they would not do it.
Where did you get your information then? I would assume that a lot of these numbers that you've come up with would have to come from the VA itself.
Absolutely, and they did. And we obtained multiple data sets from the VA, their prescription data, their patient data, all using the Freedom of Information Act. You know, and under the Freedom of Information Act, they cannot withhold information, which is the people's business, right? It's our government. It's our information as the American people. But there's no law that says they have to sit down and discuss what the information shows, and that's where they've been unwilling to cooperate.
You have a very nice interactive map online showing the various places where and the levels to which these prescriptions have been prescribed. Just tell us where some of the highest rates of prescribing these drugs are coming from.
Yeah, that's another very interesting thing that we found, is that you'd think that veterans who have, of course, served in the same wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, the Persian Gulf War, Vietnam, Korea, World War II, that these veterans are coming home all across the country with similar injuries. But what we found is that there's extremely wild variation in terms of how many opiates doctors are prescribing, depending on where you live. So St. Louis is right in the middle at the national average, with a 300% increase since the wars began, and now prescribing for the last 2 years one opiate per patient on average. The top, double the St. Louis rate, would be Roseburg, Oregon, in southern Oregon, where they're prescribing more than two opiate prescriptions per patient. Other places that are way up high, Muskogee, Oklahoma, which also serves Tulsa, another place that is like way, way in the stratosphere. And then on the other hand, there are places like New York City, which are prescribing a fraction of the amount of opiates that that are being prescribed in St. Louis. So, you know, if you click around the map, you can see that here we have these veterans who are suffering from the same ailments all over the place, and yet they're being prescribed vastly different levels of narcotics.
You know, I've looked at that map, and of course I didn't click on every opportunity that was available to me there because there were a lot of them. But one of the things I did notice, and you've just kind of alluded to it, is that the smaller areas, almost more rural-type areas, seem to have a bigger problem than the big urban centers.
You know, that could be one theory. You know, we're just beginning to look into the why. You know, we thought this information was very important and we wanted to get it out the door. And, you know, we're hoping to hear from your listeners, you know, who have experience with the VA in St. Louis to get their thoughts, you know, and they can go to our website at cironline.org and find out how to get in touch with us. And hopefully we can piece it together. But one thing I would say is, you know, there doesn't seem to be a method to the madness by that urban-rural divide. You know, you take the cities of Tulsa and Oklahoma City, for example. They're not that different, right? And yet the prescription rate in Tulsa is is much, much higher than it is in Oklahoma City. Or you take a place like Chicago, which is a big city, so it has three VA medical centers, and each of those three VA medical centers are prescribing opiates at a different rate. And so I think that the one thing that it does show clearly is that whatever policy is emanating out of Washington is getting completely lost, and doctors and hospital directors are basically doing whatever they want, and that it is having a huge impact on the quality of life of veterans across the country.
What else can you tell us about St. Louis? You indicated that we are not in the stratosphere, but we're up there. What else do you know about what's going on here?
Well, I mean, I would say that St. Louis, the statistics that we see for St. Louis are very in line with the national trend. You know that, you know, when the war started, for example, in 2001, there were three patients for every prescription of these opiates, right? That would be methadone, morphine, oxycodone, and hydrocodone, which is Vicodin. And then by 2012, we're over one opiate prescription per patient. The other interesting thing is that the number of patients at the St. Louis VA is actually growing slower than the national average. So nationally, there's about a 40% increase in patients. But in your neck of the woods, the growth is only 30%. So we're not seeing quite as many people come home and go to the VA in St. Louis, which means that it might not be as heavily impacted as some other places. And yet we're seeing the same sharp growth in opiate prescriptions.
Is there a particular opiate that is being prescribed here more than another?
You know, all of the opiates are increasing, and I'm just going to, you know, while we're talking here, make sure that I have this correct for you in terms of the different drugs. I mean, the Vicodin is the main drug that we see increasing all over the country, and the national increase on Vicodin is 600%. And then the increases on methadone and morphine are about 250% each. And then the increase on oxycodone is about 65%. And we can see that in St. Louis, like other places, we're basically fitting in a similar trend. And, you know, the VA would say that Vicodin, of the drugs I just listed, is actually the least dangerous. And so it shouldn't be alarming that it's having the steepest increase. But it's a problem when we see them all together and we see such a gigantic rise.
We only have a little over a minute left. Is there a number that you have with regard to the number of vets who are being overprescribed?
Well, I mean, the issue of overprescription is a question that's difficult to deal with. But, you know, I would say 6.5 million prescriptions of just these four drugs in 2012 by the VA, which, as I mentioned, is in excess of the number of patients. And, you know, it's just incredible to imagine that all of this is necessary. Of course, some people do need pain medication, but with this many prescriptions, it's obvious that a lot of people are using it for other reasons.
And so many of them have taken their own lives as a result of the situation they're in because of the prescription or because of the opiates and because of what they've been through.
Yeah, or maybe many of the issues that we're looking at, it becomes very difficult to know if the death is on purpose or by accident, you know, because these guys are not only getting the oxycodone or the hydrocodone, the drugs that we're talking about here, they're also maybe on benzodiazepines and other sleep aids, tranquilizers, muscle relaxants, asthma medications, you know, these are people who've been through war, and a lot of the deaths that we've investigated, they involve veterans who are on 17, 18, 19 drugs, and what kills them is the oxycodone or the Vicodin in combination with their other medicines and sometimes alcohol.
I've got to leave it there, Aaron. Our time is up. Let me just tell folks that they can listen to this in detail tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on St. Louis Public Radio. Thank you, Aaron, so much for being with us and for doing the job you've done on this project. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with journalist Mark Leibovich about his take on Washington, D.C. and the state of politics there. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. This is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.